The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
If you haven't purchased your advance tickets yet, what are you waiting for? You've only got 3 days left. The movie comes out December 17th. And already it's setting records. They pocketed $50 million as early as 4 weeks ago. $50 million in ticket sales for a movie that wasn't going to be playing for another month. A number of theaters are planning to stay open right around the clock during the movie's first week to accommodate the masses of people. People started lining up for the movie last week. There's about 150 people or so outside of a theater in Hollywood right now, dressed up in characters from the movie, sleeping in tents. I saw one story where there was even a marriage performed. All of them waiting to see the next installment. And it's not just in the United States. I mean, this is a worldwide phenomenon. There's a soccer game in Bulgaria where, according to Sky News, every fan donned a stormtrooper mask while they were singing the club's name along with the Imperial March theme. That's from Sky News. In Dubai, one company is decorating the outside of its building with a scene from the movie. AFP says from the United States to Russia, China, and Saudi Arabia, the franchise has spawned a remarkable global fan base. Arguably unheard of in movie history and spanning several generations. It's bringing the world together. Everyone can agree. Everyone can agree that this is the latest, greatest thing. This next installment of the Star Wars saga. You're listening, by the way, to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 in Edmond, Oklahoma. The live stream's available, too, at kpcg.fm. Keep sending us your emails. TD@kpcg.fm. This is perhaps the most ridiculous among many. From the Telegraph, Jedi Church says new Star Wars film leading to boom in followers. They're getting all kinds of new converts in the Church of Jediism. Says the new Star Wars film may have already broken all records for advance ticket sales, but the cinema trade is not the only industry to have benefited from the return of the franchise after a 10-year absence. Leading figures in the Church of Jediism, the religion inspired by the fictional warriors who battle against the dark side, have told the Daily Telegraph that the group is signing up more than 1,000 new members a day. As excitement builds ahead of tomorrow's launch of Star Wars, The Force Awakens. They're picking up 1,000 new members per day. Per day. And notice it says here, Jediism started as a joke ahead of the 2001 census, in which respondents were asked to declare their religion for the first time. At the same time, or rather at that time, 390,000 people declared that they were Jedis, a number that fell by more than half at the following census, 2011. Now the organization, now, I mean, it's a full-scale organization. Described by its members as a set of philosophies based on focusing, learning, and becoming at one with the force. Claims to have more than 250,000 followers. What started as a joke is now a religious group, a religion, with 250,000 followers. Patrick Day Childs, a member of the church's five-strong UK ruling council. It's got a ruling council here in the UK. That said that more than 1,000 people a day are signing up for the religion. He said it's gone up substantially in the past couple of days. The real test will be in a couple of weeks when the film hype has died off. That's when it'll be a real struggle for the church. Daniel Jones, who founded the religion and who goes by the Jedi name Morda Heehole, said, "We've been rushed off our feet. People want to know more about it. It's great for us. This is great." They've just been swept off their feet by thousands and thousands of people that want to join the movement. Following the church involves learning about the principles of Jediism, which includes tenets such as there's no emotion, there is peace, and there is no ignorance, there is knowledge. Mr. Day Child said, "I think people are shying away from traditional religion because it doesn't reflect their views. We've got no problem with homosexuality or anything like that. We're very accepting." So there you go. That's the Church of Jediism. It's amazing. You see stories like this. And then you run a quick search back through the Trumpet archives. And right away I came to Star Wars, The Religion, by Dennis Leap, written back in August 1999. This is before that 2001 census joke even came along. And he said in that article from 99, "Don't scoff. There's people that make a religion out of this." Yes, there's great storytelling and all that, special effects, you name it. But there's religious themes that run through the storytelling, for sure. Dennis Leap referred to a PBC program, an interview between Bill Moyers and George Lucas, the creator. And at one point, the interviewer asked him, "You know, what do you make of all these people who see the story of Star Wars as something that's profoundly religious?" And Lucas said, I don't see Star Wars as being profoundly religious. I see Star Wars as taking all of the issues that religion represents and trying to distill them down into a more modern and more easily accessible construct that people can grab onto to accept the fact that there is a greater mystery out there. When I was 10 years old, I asked my mother, I said, "Well, if there's only one God, why are there so many religions? There's only one God, as you say. Why are there so many different religions?" He said, "And over the years, I've been pondering that question ever since. And it would seem to me that the conclusion I have come to is that all of the religions are true. They just see a different part of the elephant. Religion is basically a container for faith. Faith is the glue that holds us together as a society. Faith in our culture, our world. Whatever it is we are trying to hang on to," he said, it's very important, a very important part, allowing us to remain stable, remain balanced. That's from George Lucas, the creator of Star Wars, saying there that he didn't intend for these films to become a religion or to replace worship But for many, that's exactly what's happened. And isn't it interesting that he basically wanted to combine all religions together? And so you can walk out of it as a traditional Christian or as a Buddhist or as whatever and feel really good about the experience and feel like there's some real powerful spiritual themes there. And many, many, by the tens of thousands now, have literally made it a religion, the Church of Jediism. It's gaining converts by the thousands. Let me just read a couple of verses in 2 Timothy, what Paul wrote to the evangelist Timothy. Paul was right near the end of his life. He was about to be executed. And he told his faithful assistant in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, he said, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Preach the truth. Be anchored to the truth of God, to the Holy Scriptures. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears." They won't endure sound doctrine. They won't endure the truth of the gospel, the truth of the Holy Bible, the truth of the Holy Scriptures. But they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, verse 4 says, and shall be turned unto fables. Turned to fables. That's what the Star Wars saga is absolutely loaded with, just all kinds of religious fable. And now there are people by the thousands that have made it into a religion. You know, Herbert Armstrong said years ago, I think this was in the United States and Britain in prophecy in particular, but he said that truth was stranger than fiction. I mean, if you just have a bit of desire to dig in, you'll see that truth is stranger even than fiction. But God prophesies that many people will turn away from the truth. They'll turn their ears away from the truth in pursuit of fiction, which, as you can see from the latest craze, it's quite popular. It's far more appealing for people to line the streets of Hollywood Boulevard for 12, 13, 14 days than it is to actually discover the truth of God. Here we're living in a time when Bible prophecies, so many of them, are being fulfilled. And yet most turn away their ears from the truth. And they call these bedrock principles of Scripture, they consider these things foolishness. I told my students a while back about this lady my family and I bumped into at Locrue in Ireland. We were there walking these hills, and if you know anything about what it says in the United States and Britain in prophecy, and we've written and said other things about the prophet Jeremiah and about his commission to establish the throne of David in Ireland. And so we were walking these hills, wondering, well, where did Jeremiah set up his schools? Where did he establish his base? Could it have been here? Could it have been somewhere else on the island? And then this lady walks up to us, and she's there at Locrue, and she actually was an American who was living in Ireland. And she asked us point blank, well, do you know the history of these hills? And we said, well, no, go ahead and tell us all about it. And so she talked about this witch that bounced around from hill to hill. And there at Locru, at the entrance of this tomb on the hill, there's a rock or a stone structure, a slab, that looks almost like a chair. And she said that that's where the witch would rest. She would settle on that peak of Locru and rest on this particular chair before she would fly around to the next hill. And so, you know, after she got into that, I started to try to wind down the conversation and so that we could move on. And then as we were walking away, I told my family, I said, what's amazing here is that she, if we told her what we believed, she would think we are crazy. If we told her some of the basics of God's commission to Jeremiah, the prophet, and what he did with the king's daughters, how God used him to plant the throne of David, just basics, basically, basics of the United States and Britain and prophecy, she would think we were crazy. Even as she goes on with her fairy tale stories about witches flying from this place to that place, settling in on a chair over here on Locru. Verse 4 again says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Fables. That's what so many want in this world today. Fairy tales. Fantasy. Religion. Spiritism. You name it. And all the while, the truth is right there for them to dig into. Herbert Armstrong said in The Incredible Human Potential, the eternal God, nevertheless, has made this vital revealed knowledge and truth available to any willing to believe what he says. In his inspired book, the Book of Books, the Holy Bible, this book has actually become the world's bestseller. But this precious book has been interpreted and misinterpreted, distorted, twisted, misrepresented, misunderstood, and maligned as no other book has. No other book has been twisted and misrepresented like this one. It's like I said on Friday, people won't use the book for what God intended it to be used for. They don't see it as an instruction manual. In Isaiah 30, well, you can look at that on your own time. The prophet there talks about those that would say, give us the preachers, give us the prophets who will speak unto us smooth things. Let them prophesy deceits, fables. We'd much rather have that than the truth. I mean, all of it shows, doesn't it, that as Mr. Armstrong himself said, when he came along in the 20th century, he was a voice crying out in the wilderness of religious confusion. And even George Lucas could see, growing up as a boy, that there was confusion in this world. If there's the one God, why are there so many different religions? Which religion is right? Mr. Armstrong asked some of those same questions. But God led him to the answer. God led him to the answer. He led him to understand why the world doesn't know, even the world of religion, it doesn't know the true gospel message. It knows nothing about the purpose for man, about why man was created and put on this earth. It knows nothing about life after death, What happens at physical death? What happens next? What about the resurrection from the dead? What's the purpose of this life? What's the way to happiness and peace? Why is the world the way that it is? Why is the world's number one concern today the question of human survival? Why the paradox? All the progress on the one hand, and then all the degeneration on the next, or on the other. How do you explain it? The magical push-button world, as Mr. Armstrong would say. Leisure, luxury, license. And yet a world in utter and total ignorance, where even the most educated among us, even the most religious among us, can't solve, can't help us, can't lead us to solve the evils of this world. Let's just look at that verse in Isaiah 40, even though I just quoted it a moment ago. Isaiah 40 in verse 3, I think it is. It says, "The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the eternal, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." The voice of him crying out in this wilderness of religious confusion, all the evils of this world, revealing the truth about so many of the mysteries of God. And that's what Herbert Armstrong did, particularly with the final work that he put together in the last year of his life, Mystery of the Ages. We've been obviously advertising that a lot on the TV program over here in recent months, but in my doctrines class at Herbert Armstrong College, we've also just been going through the restored truths, all the truths that God restored to his church in the 20th century. Basic truths, revealed truths, truths that so many in this world are in total ignorance of. A voice, you see, crying out in the wilderness, just like John the Baptist was crying out in a physical wilderness around the Jordan River area, just as he was preparing for the human, physical Jesus coming to a material temple there at Jerusalem. So there would be. That's what your Bible says. This isn't foolishness. These aren't fables. This is the truth. The Bible says there would be a forerunner of this end-time voice. Another one would come in the latter days, preaching in a spiritual wilderness of religious confusion and announcing the imminency of Jesus Christ's return, of Jesus Christ's second coming. This time as the resurrected, glorified Christ, coming to his spiritual temple, that is the church. There's dozens and dozens of scriptures I could take you through or throw at you here all at once. But suffice it to say, I mean, it comes right out of the Word of God. It comes right out of your Bible. It comes right out of our instruction manual. It really does answer all of the difficult questions of life. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG, 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond. The live stream's available at kpcg.org. Freedomradio.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. For 6,000 years, humanity has been going the way of pride and vanity, selfishness and greed. Human beings have been filled with self-gratification, jealousy, envy, resentment toward others, a spirit of rebellion against authority, and hostility toward God and God's laws. The true Christian must overcome these tendencies through a process known as conversion. For much more on this subject, request the free booklet, Just What Do You Mean? Conversion. Being converted is not an initiation into a secret club or society. It is not a rite or ceremony. It is a matter of turning away from the way of vanity and selfishness to a new and true way of life in Christ Jesus, living by every word of God, in and by the power of God's Holy Spirit. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program.
It is good music. You've got to give them credit for that. Inspiring sounds from the Star Wars saga. Jeremiah Jacques wrote an article at thetrumpet.com just a few years ago, why the fascination with superheroes. You've probably noticed that in addition to the craze over Star Wars. All of these movies, these stories about superheroes. And Jeremiah writes, it seems that people through the ages and across the globe have wished to break free of the limits of our human existence. Some of that reflects a simple desire to escape from the challenges that ordinary mortal life brings. But in many cases, there may be more behind it. He says, King Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that God has put eternity into man's heart. And then he references Barnes' commentary, which says about that verse in Ecclesiastes 3, that God has placed in the inborn constitution of man the capability of conceiving of eternity, the struggle to apprehend the everlasting. And then Jeremiah writes, our Creator planted within us a longing for something beyond ourselves, something transcendent, something superhuman. This yearning is actually a longing for God and a desire to realize our potential with Him. And the human potential is truly incredible. It's incredible. This is so much more amazing, so much more incredible, so much more unbelievable even than fiction. And this is fact. This is fact. This is the truth. This is the incredible human potential. Mr. Armstrong wrote in the book that goes by that very title that actually Christ's message of God's coming kingdom is directly concerned with world conditions as they are, with human nature, its source and origin, with world evil, suffering, unhappiness, with world peace. It's concerned with government, with the reason present human governments fail to be the benefactors of their peoples that they're supposed to be. But it's concerned with far, far more. This is Christ's gospel message. He says it's concerned with far, far more. It's concerned with God's tremendous, overwhelming, overall purpose as creator of the entire universe. It's concerned with the entire vast universe filled with its uncountable galaxies. nebulae, suns, stars, planets, and with God's purpose for them. It's concerned with all the angels, with the fact that one-third of all God's created angels turn to sin, from which there can be no redemption. And God's great purpose and plan to prevent such a catastrophe happening to the other two-thirds. Why won't we lift up our eyes to this truth, to the truth of the gospel? The truth of the gospel message that Jesus Christ preached. My father had such an inspiring article a few years ago, Lift Up Your Eyes. He was talking about the a landing on the moon and just how that event back in the late 60s galvanized the world. And it had everyone, every nation on earth, looking up into the heavens and seeing just how small we are. As Time magazine wrote back in 1969, stargazer, now star reacher, man inhabits a smallish planet of an ordinary sun in a garden variety galaxy that occupies the tiniest corner of the universe, or of a universe whose scope is beyond comprehension. It's just beyond comprehension, and yet God really did place within us. He planted within us this longing for something beyond the self. And that is coming. This same chapter, the voice in the wilderness chapter, if you read through to the end of it, verse 26 says, "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created these things? That brings out their host by number. He calls them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one fails." Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and behold the one who created these things. And yet man today is so intent on looking into animals or fossils or rocks, and the only time that they'll look up or lift up their eyes to the galaxies, the universe, is if it's some superhero movie or Star Wars or other movies like that. Psalm chapter 8, let's just read through this. See what David wrote here. David spent a lot of time outdoors and at night looking up into the heavens, meditating on God's ways, meditating on God's creation. Psalm 8 and verse 3, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" When I consider this, I see how small we are, and I think, what is man? What is man that you're even mindful of us? He was just blown away by it. Look at what this world has to offer. You go back to this head of the Jediism church. I think people are shying away from traditional religion because it doesn't reflect their views. And so what does he propose? Well, a religion without views, basically. Shallow religion. A religion of no substance. And that's what you have right across the board. Where is there a religion? Where is there a church that understands what is man and why God is mindful of him? David says here, "For you have made him a little lower than the angels and have crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet. What does this mean? What does this mean? Well, there's quite a lot of material in The Incredible Human Potential, in Mystery of the Ages. Put this passage together with Hebrews 2, with what Paul said. He paraphrased quite a lot of this psalm, Paul did, where he says over in Hebrews 2 that God created us for a little while lower than the angels, but to be crowned with glory and honor. He says in Hebrews 2:8, the next verse over, that God's put everything in subjection under man's feet. Everything. You look into the Greek word there, it's talking about the universe. Can this really mean what it says? Is this really the truth of the Bible? Can your mind grasp this mind-boggling truth? We start off as physical beings, less powerful than the angels, obviously, for a little while lower than the angels. But God has something in mind that's going to put us on a level that's more powerful than angels. A position or a rank where we'll rule the universe. But we don't yet see it, as Hebrews 2 says. But it will happen if we yield to God's rule, to God's authority. 1 John 3 and verse 2 says, "It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when Christ shall appear, we shall be like him." What does that mean? When Jesus Christ appears, obviously at his second coming, we shall be like him. What is he like? That's speaking to the disciples of God in God's true church. What is Jesus Christ today like? The resurrected Christ. Well, there are passages of Scripture, Revelation 1, Revelation 19, that talk about his appearance. Is it really true that the disciples of Christ will be like him? We'll go back to the beginning of the Bible. Go back to Genesis 1. Look at verse 26. What does it mean to be made in God's likeness and image? What purpose is being worked out here below? It's an awesome, incredible calling. But for so many people, it's not really interesting. I was telling my students, my wife, and explaining to one of the parents of a dancer that my children dance with. She was explaining to them, or this gal, what we believed about the God family. Well, do you believe in the Trinity? And she said, well, we believe the Bible teaches that God is a family. And the woman just started chuckling, saying, oh, the God family, that's cute. That's really cute. The world is in darkness. The world's blinded to the truth of the gospel. This was a sweet woman, a very nice lady, one that my wife really enjoys talking to. There's others, though, that I suppose would react like the Jews of Christ's day. When he said he was a son of God, and they were filled with wrath. What are you talking about? And Jesus answered them by saying, look at Psalm 82. Look into your own Bible. Look into your own Hebrew scriptures. Look where it says, you are gods. I mean, to the Jews, to those who hated Christ, they were stirred to wrath at these truths of God, these precious truths, these true doctrines. Others, while they may not react that way, look at it as maybe just a cute saying, a cute little belief. But look into the Bible. Look at what it says about man. Look at what it says about the earth. Look at what it says about the universe. Look at what, let's go over here to Romans 8. Look at what Paul said here in Romans about the universe. This is more spectacular by a million miles so than any movie, any man-made movie, any man-made story. Think about what Paul is saying here to God's people, to brethren in the church of God. He says in Romans 8, verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. See, we'll be like him, as 1 John 3, 2 says. Glorified together. Joint heirs with him. Paul continues, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The glory to be revealed in us. For, verse 19 says, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation, that's talking about the universe, keep in mind, all the stars and the planets and the suns, the moons, all that's now sitting there in a state of decay and futility, and the world doesn't know why. Science doesn't understand why. But we can know, based upon the truth of God, the revelation from God, that decay set in after rebellion. Lucifer and a third of the angels rebelling against their maker. Paul says about that whole creation, it's groaning in travail together until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait for the birth as sons. Mr. Armstrong wrote about this passage in Mystery of the Ages. He said, what an amazing, marvelous revelation of knowledge. No more amazing, awesome, eye-opening passage could be written. It is so astonishingly revealing, one doesn't fully grasp it just reading it quickly through. You've got to go back through it and ponder each and every word and think about what God is saying. Mr. Armstrong says that this passage indicates precisely what all astronomers and scientific evidence indicate. The suns are as balls of fire giving out light and heat, but the planets, except for this earth, are in a state of decay, death, futility, but not forever. Waiting until converted humans are born the children of God, born into the very divine family of God, forming the kingdom of God. Put together all these scriptures, and you begin to grasp the incredible human potential. Our potential is to be born into the God family, receiving total power. Total power. We're to be given jurisdiction over the entire universe. That is quite a spectacular calling. It's as if the whole universe is out there. Like a mother, as Mr. Armstrong covered in Chapter 7 of Mystery of the Ages, anxiously waiting. Anxiously waiting for the children of God. Anxiously waiting for its potential to be realized. This earth is just a testing ground. It's like a launching pad. God intends to take us right on out into the universe. Toward the end of chapter 7 in Mystery of the Ages, it says, what these wonderful passages imply and indicate goes far beyond the amount specifically revealed. We're to be given jurisdiction over the entire universe. What are we going to do then? These scriptures indicate we shall impart life to billions and billions of dead planets as life has been imparted to this earth. There is a purpose for the universe. There is a purpose why God recreated the surface of this earth. There's a reason God put man on earth. There is a plan, a purpose being worked out here below. If only we'd lift up our eyes to that precious, precious truth of the gospel. When we come back, we have a few minutes left here today. When we come back, I'll go over some of the stats from this past weekend. We had a very, very successful program on the subject of Christmas that played here in the UK. It was posted at thetrumpet.com on Friday, so I'll fill you in on that and also update you on the Mystery of the Ages goal for this calendar year. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma. The live stream's available at kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. It's positively astounding. It has remained undiscovered by science. No religion has revealed it. Higher education has never taught it. Is it possible the whole world has been deceived regarding the awesome purpose of human life, about the way to world peace and how it will come? And could it be true that the real gospel message Christ brought from heaven revealed this missing dimension but was suppressed? This eye-opening story of the real gospel message of Jesus Christ, of how this missing dimension was withheld and the whole world deceived, is powerfully explained in The Incredible Human Potential. We offer this book to you at no cost or obligation. All of your information remains secure. Call the number on your screen and request Herbert W. Armstrong's masterful work, The Incredible Human Potential. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program.
You should know about Christmas. That's the program that we played this weekend here in the UK. It brought in 218 responses. We had big responses Saturday morning, and then again yesterday, and a pretty good trickle in all through the day of another 10 or 15 calls. All totaled 218. That's the third best yet. We advertised the truth about Christmas, as well as pagan holidays or God's holy days, which, those two booklets, and then we plugged Mystery of the Ages and said to make a special request for that book if you don't have it already. And I think we had 20 or 25 people that asked the operator to also send Mystery of the Ages. Now, as for the Mystery of the Ages goal, I have, I guess you could call it bad news, but I don't know. I think it's good news, too. We've been saying it's at 1750, and that's what the calls have been, the requests, the texts, the calls to our operators all through this year, all the programs that we've done, specifically advertising Mystery of the Ages. It's brought in 1,750 responses, but the mail processing center here at Edstone has since informed me that the actual number of books that have been mailed is more in the neighborhood of 1,560. And the reason for that difference is that we do get people calling into a response or a program offering Mystery of the Ages that requests something different, or that they maybe already have Mystery of the Ages. Sometimes people will call in twice, so they'll get counted as two call-ins, but just they call back the second time to specify something else about their order, whatever it might could be. In any event, with the extra 15 or 20 requests for Mystery of the Ages, I think that we'll get updated stats on this hopefully by the end of the week, but I think we're somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,560, which leaves us about 440 short with 2 weekends to go. The good news is that those 2 weekends, there's some strong, strong advertisements in there for Mystery of the Ages. This next weekend, it's on the Mystery of the Kingdom of God. And Jesse did a great job with some of the commercial work, the promos in there, putting up the phone number and so on. And then we just finished recording one yesterday that will be a tribute to Herbert Armstrong's work. We're coming up to his the anniversary of his death, the 30th anniversary of his death. So what we did with this program is we talked a bit about his ministry, and then we played excerpts from an old World Tomorrow program that played back in 1986, which also offered Mystery of the Ages. So there's two remaining programs that will heavily advertise Mystery of the Ages. And I know to get 430 or 40 total requests for the book is going to be a challenge, but we can all band together on this and really pray earnestly and really pray fervently that God would bless the response to these final two programs on this calendar year. However you shake it down, I mean, we're going to have well over 2,000 responses to the Mystery of the Ages programs. And if we fall just short of the 2,000 in terms of actual books that go out, it won't be that far behind that 2,000 figure. So we'll still push hard and do everything that we can to try to reach that goal. What a year it's been to think of all those books that have gone out, to think of all of the hundreds of people that have requested other booklets. We had one individual call yesterday who requested The Missing Dimension in Sex, which we haven't even advertised all year. We want to get to that next year. But obviously, people that have not only read Mystery of the Ages or a few of our booklets, but that have read quite a lot of our material. So we've been tossing around some ideas about goals that we can set for 2016. And as we work our way into the next calendar year, we'll certainly let you in on some of the additional goals that we'll set for next year. Thank you for joining us today. We'll certainly look forward to talking to you again tomorrow.